Jack Burke.
Hello.
Howdy.
My very old friend.
Since?
Very old?
Since childhood.
I mean, I'm not
since
old.
Your childhood.
Unbelievably young-looking friend.
when we first met, you were still a child.
Literally.
You were like 18.
21. No.
21.
We met when I was, I think I moved to, no. Oh, yeah, no, I would have been 21.
And you moved to Berlin. I don't know if we talked about this because you've been on the show before. I don't know if we discussed this.
I'm a veteran.
It's been a while. You moved to Berlin in 2012 because the UK kicked you out.
Genau. I had like a 2-year visa for the UK, which was at the time I thought amazing. And I was like, oh my God, I want to be here forever. And then they said no. And so I moved to Berlin because you didn't have to organize a visa before. You could just...
That is the good thing about
rock up and then be like, hey, I need to stay here. And then work was like, ah, you're moving to Berlin? We could give you a job there. I was like, ah, okay, that's good. And then that didn't happen for like 6 months or more. So I was like semi-illegally here because like I didn't have a stamp in my passport leaving the UK. Well, they had no way of knowing when I left the UK. So I didn't apply for my visa here until much later than I probably should have. Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't either.
Don't hold me to this, anyone.
Your life has a way of just like working out.
Yeah, you don't, if you don't make plans, I mean, yeah, plans that I make don't happen.
And what's that lovely accent from?
That's from the far north coast of New South Wales, which...
Australia.
AKA.
Which is in Australia. And it's called the far north coast. And it's literally in the middle. It's not north.
It's not far.
It's not north. It's the most easterly point of Australia.
And do you miss home?
No. Nope. But it's very pretty there. And the... No, I don't.
What do you not miss about it?
I don't click with the vibe, I suppose. I feel like it was a nice place to grow up. Very pretty, very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
The people are nice, but not for me. But that's okay. They can be for them.
And why do you vibe with Berlin? What's kept you here for over 10 years at this point?
Honestly, at this point, right this second, I don't know.
You seem to be gone a lot. I'm
doing my best. I mean, I don't know. There was like the honeymoon phase of Berlin. No, I mean, what did I say?
The honeymoon phase.
Berlin, Germany is a little bit over at the moment, but we're going to make it work.
You mean in general or just general, with you personally?
With me.
Like, is Berlin becoming out of fashion?
No. I think it's me. I'm not one of these like, oh, you know, I think we develop. And then you're like, it's so different now. It's not what it once was. But that was because I also am not what I once was.
That's true too. So you're becoming more different for Berlin.
Yeah.
You and Berlin.
This is like a therapy session.
Yeah.
I had it prepared.
and how do you feel?
Why do you think that you feel that way?
Yeah.
Probably trauma. And something that my parents didn't do while I was young.
Well, that's our job, telling you the reasons why you became that way.
That's your parents. I'm like, most of it is.
Also, still not our main topic, but how did you learn German?
When did I learn German?
When and how?
That's a great question. When have I learned German?
Because I mean,
when was the learning of the German that you're talking about? Because my German's still unbelievably horrible.
I don't think so.
What level?
That's the thing. You kept telling me this even 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago when we still worked together, and you kept insisting that you don't actually speak German.
I don't.
But then I would hear you speak to like customers because we worked together in retail, and I'd be like, holy shit, he speaks German. I never knew.
I mean, it's also been a long time since I spoke to a customer, but I can consume German very easily. I love German podcasts. Some of them are interesting. Some of them make me very angry. But like German news, that kind of thing,
producing German is not really my thing. I feel like on the phone I can do it when I'm not talking, when I can't see the person being like, what? What? What are you saying? So on the phone, like, I can sort out my phone contract and random shit like that.
But what would you say to all the people who really stress themselves out about learning German because they've already been here for a year
or two
and haven't gotten around to?
I would say don't stress in general.
in life.
In general, don't stress. It's really all right, especially not speaking German here. You can get by.
But it's hard, like, on the phone, though. On the phone, when you're talking to the phone people.
I like the phone. The phone for me is good.
I try, and they hang up on me. I think
subconsciously it's there. Really?
Yes, because they have to get someone else to call me back.
Oh, wow. Okay, I've never done that. It's fun. As long as it, like, the first thing you say is, like, I'm really sorry, my German's really bad, they are, like, quite...
For the most part, yes.
Quite understanding.
They always... It is, like... And Manuel, is this a thing that whenever you ask someone if they speak English, it is like a script that they always say a little. Every single person I've ever asked, do you speak any English? They always say a little.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about this on the Easy German podcast about how Germans are very humble about their English skills, and they always say, my English is not that great, and then they
continue that whole conversation.
Actually speak better English than myself.
Yeah. But I think it's, yeah. So the one thing that I brought up is, like, we love to laugh about Germans who don't speak that well or who have an accent, which obviously, as was then pointed out to me, it's kind of mean and kind of...
Germans, like, are mean.
You shouldn't do it. But I just want to play you language. This. This is our Minister of Finance, Christian Lindner.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Is he doing a skit?
No, he's giving an interview.
This sounds like SNL.
A tired man. After a short night.
A wake-up call. Oh my God, it's so painful.
That accent.
Get a copy, which means structural reforms.
Yeah, and it's hilarious to us.
Like a Bond villain.
He kind of is. I mean, and that's what's funny literally about it, because he's so... full of himself. He's so arrogant. He thinks he's this shit. Mm. And in every interview, and he is, you know, he is smart and, like, he can talk, but then in English, he has this thick accent and just, it's just a clash, and it just makes it hilarious.
I mean, I feel like Germans also rip each other to shreds when they get emails or see other people writing in German. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe they put a comma there. Like, that is just like, what an idiot. What an idiot. And I'm like, guys, settle down. But so it's not, true. I don't think it's like only at, like, I don't feel like they're rough on the foreigners. They're also unbelievably rough on each other.
Yeah, totally. Yes. And that's why...
Does that make it better? Like, so that I'm like, you're so mean, but they're like, we're mean to everyone.
Yeah, and that's why we have to preface, well, my English isn't that great.
Yeah.
Because if you do have this accent, then...
Yeah. A German person recently taught me the difference between transparent and translucent. Do you know the difference?
Translucent is like... reflective, and transparent is like see-through.
Can I try? Translucent lets the light through, and transparent you can see through.
Yeah.
I learned this on The Boys, the superhero.
Because
it has the word loose right in it, which means light.
But, like, the question is, like, is this nail, is it transparent or is it
Jack's
translucent?
Holding up his very long blue nail.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, well, that's the thing. It's not black and white because it's like, I can kind of see you through
exactly.
It, but not really.
Exactly. So because I've been describing them as transparent, which she was not so keen on. She was like, well, actually, I think they're translucent. And I was like, I don't know what the difference is. And I looked it up and I feel like this is transparent, but because of the curve, it's you can't like fully read through it, you know? And it's blue.
It breaks the light.
It's exactly. Like translucent is like semi.
Yeah, translucent is like frosted glass.
Yes.
Kind of.
I have the best, I have a recommendation for the best dictionary, online dictionary. It's vocabulary.com because they describe, they give you definitions in like plain English. Translucent. A translucent material lets light pass through, but objects on the other side can't be seen clearly. Think Shrinky Dinks or stained glass. So I would say, yeah, it is translucent because you can't see the objects clearly.
Stained glass. They say stained glass is translucent.
Yeah.
But then my fingernail is stained glass.
And then transparent, you can see right through something transparent. A window is transparent unless it's really, really, really dirty. Time to break out some soap. Yeah. I think your friend...
Was right. Wow.
See, us Germans, we always know the answer.
Yeah, or you Google it.
Okay, so for today's topic, we want to revisit a topic that we've actually already discussed on this show. But it was episode 3, and I feel like we were really just getting started.
Yeah, I was in America, and we were just looking at pictures of that.
Right. So the topic is Berlin's neighborhoods. And back then, I was trying to explain to you, Jay, still in the U.S., what the different neighborhoods are like, so that you can make a decision on where to find your apartment.
Yes.
I think we should revisit this topic, go through the different neighborhoods, and this time focus on the vibe, since that's what Jack is all about. He's all about the vibe.
Jack is all about the vibes.
And
vibey Jack.
Oh God, it's so painful.
You cycle. You're an avid cyclist. Mm-hmm.
I just started cycling again.
We talked about cycling in Berlin in episode 4 with you, with or without breaking your collarbone.
I remember that.
And so you know all these different Kieze because you've cycled through them.
Yes.
You know what though? Because there's so many more than you would think. Once I saw a map of Neukölln, and I didn't know about like Donaukiez and all these other Kiez, you know?
That's actually a good first point. So neighborhoods, we're going to focus on like the big neighborhoods, Kreuzberg, Friedrichshain, Neukölln.
Say they're like suburbs.
The word Kiez is, what's the translation for that?
I would say a Kiez is a neighborhood.
It's like a borough.
It's a smaller.
Kreuzberg is like a suburb.
Yeah. If you have like New York, you have like Manhattan, and then in Manhattan, you have like all these like different like boroughs and stuff like that.
Okay. So Kiez would be borough.
Yeah. And
it's a small entity. And then the neighborhood or the
like suburb if we're using New York as like the example, I would say there's New York, then there's Manhattan. And then there's the boroughs in Manhattan.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble for comparing Berlin to New York.
Look, that's all I can say.
I also just, let's not look it up because we'll probably be wrong. But
I'm totally wrong.
What is what? What denotes to what?
Anyway, there's so many Kieze. Like each neighborhood has
so many.
Kieze is the most important thing. Neighborhood is one thing, but Kieze,
that
makes all the difference.
I'm with you there because it's true. Like you can like Neukölln has really pretty Kieze, and it also has questionable Kieze. So it is true that there's a big difference depending on.
And is it Kieze for plural or is it just always Kieze? Like did I just say there's a mini Kieze?
No.
And there's one Kieze,
two Kieze.
Really?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So should we just go through the same ones that we went through last time?
We can, or we can start with our favorites.
All right, let's do that.
My favorite is Neukölln. I'm a Neukölln boy all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's also where I spend most of my time.
Yes.
But I think I actually live not in Neukölln. When I first moved to Berlin, I lived in Neukölln. We lived not like just a few streets away from each other, actually.
Those were the times.
It was a different world. We were all so simple. And our problems were so tiny.
It's also the biggest neighborhood in Berlin.
Really?
Yeah, it goes all the way to Brandenburg even. No?
No.
It doesn't go all the way to the bottom?
It goes up quite... Yeah, it goes up very far south. I mean, down south.
Yeah.
It is that big.
163,000
There's also like Kreuzberg and Friedrichshain. One neighborhood.
Really?
Actually, they're not two.
Really? So yeah. The naming is tricky.
The naming is really tricky.
But before we get to those, so what's so great about Neukölln? It's very big. It's in the south.
It's very hip. It's very and multicultural.
Very multicultural. Like, you have a lot of people of color. You have a lot of queer people. Like, Schöneberg is known as a historically gay district, but I feel like Neukölln is like more of the actually gay district
or the queer Gen district. Z.
Mm. Yes, Gen Z. Like, I'm in Hoytekeets now, and like, I walk around and everyone is speaking English. It's very like.
Where were you today?
Hoytekeets.
Reuterkiez.
Really? If I mispronounce the word, that's tiny.
It sounds like you're saying Reuterkiez.
Heute. It sounds like
which
Heute.
Which might be another Kiez because there's so many Kiez.
Reuterkiez.
Yeah.
It's like a very, like, yeah, it was just very much this multicultural vibe. Things are a little bit cheaper, I would say, in Neukölln. I mean, although they are getting a bit gentrified now. I don't know. I think it's the most exciting area that we I've experienced.
I felt similarly when I moved to Berlin in 2012, and then I lived there for like 3 years, and then I felt a little like done with it, because I mean, I also like, I lived right on top of a döner kebab, and the smell soak into the apartment. Is that the correct path?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, obviously.
It has its rougher edges for sure.
It does. Mm-hmm.
But it was also like, especially during COVID, like Hasenheide, I remember it became like a real hub.
Which is
where it used to be.
Hasenheide is a big park.
I remember a huge park in the middle of, in Neukölln, not really the middle. And I remember leaving it one night, and then people were like getting in a cab, and I was telling the cab to drive to Wedding. And I was like,
that's
you've come
far.
From Wedding to go to Hasenheide. It was like, wow, okay, interesting. It really was like a hub during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next favorite. Second favorite, your favorite.
I mean, I spend most of my time on the border of the two, so like Kreuzberg, Neukölln.
Yeah.
Which is also often referred to as Kreuzkern.
Kreuzkern, exactly.
They're like sisters.
Yeah. Along the canal. I spent a lot of COVID on the canal.
Maibachufa.
You spent a lot of COVID on them.
Yeah. A lot of it, actually, because there was nowhere else to go. And you had to like wander around and be outside. And there was like bocce courts and things. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, I would say that's kind of the vibe. But Kreuzberg is also big and extends much more west than I initially thought it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets really pretty. It has really pretty areas and really horrible areas.
Maibachufa,
that's my
Maibachufa
area.
Is the vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think I live in Alt-Treptow, which, I mean, legally, I live in Plantewald, but no one likes to call it that because it makes it sound like I live really far away.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
and I wasn't the person, but someone actually like scrubbed out the sign that said Plantewald and wrote Alt-Treptow on it. And so I'm like, I live in Alt-Treptow. I don't care what anyone says. But I don't really do anything there. I do everything.
It's very residential.
Yeah, I do everything in Neukölln, Kreuzberg. Friedrichshain, I lived there also when I first moved to Berlin, but I never really,
there's Boxy and
Yeah, I lived just around. I lived on Boxhagener Straße.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Friedrichshain is where you first lived when you arrived, and it is probably the area that most people who move to Berlin, if they're going to like party and like I feel like it's the most Berlin part of Berlin in a way, because that's where all the clubs are.
Yeah, yeah,
so a lot of the nightlife is there.
Yeah,
a lot of craziness in general.
It's a good safe choice if you're just moving to Berlin. Like I would not choose it as my favorite now, but I definitely understand why I lived there and why people might go there.
It was like the Neukölln of the time when Berlin was really like flourishing.
Yeah,
I think, you know, like it went like Mitte. Prenzlauberg, down Friedrichshain, and then Kreuzberg, Neukölln. And then kind of stopped. Tempelhof kind of cut it off. And now, is it just Neukölln? Or is there somewhere
The Schoenenberg, technically.
But that was not... I mean, that was maybe even pre-Mitte.
Yeah.
okay. One by one. So Schoenenberg, I would say, is my favorite neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like... So I live in Wedding, which we have to talk about, but Schoenberg...
It's about to happen, Wedding.
Schoenberg is as clean and orderly and nice as I like it without being so uptight. Like Charlottenburg is just too uptight and too where the old West Berlin and Schöneberg has kept kind of its lightness and not taking itself too seriously.
Yes.
But it's also just nice. Like living in Wedding, I'm just used to trash everywhere and
I mean you could still live above a Donauladen Wedding.
It's not like you. Schöneberg, I lived on Goldstrasse, which in my opinion is the most beautiful street in Berlin, and every time I come back there, it's also obviously whatever memories you have, you know, but that street, it just has so many artsy shops and cafes and restaurants. But it feels authentic. It doesn't feel like a tourist trap. The street doesn't even advertise itself. Like, I feel like no tourist is going to go there unless they read about it in a guidebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's actual Berliners going there to have a nice coffee and eat some good food and check out the artsy-fartsy shops. And I really like that about Schöneberg.
I lived in Schöneberg for 6 months. Like, I just moved back to Neukölln. And... it was like, I think the idea for me was nice. Like, I get, like, it is definitely that. It is very clean. It is nice. The people are somewhat okay. You don't have a lot of craziness going on. Mm. But internally, I really like that craziness. Like, I like the drama. I like the excitement. But I definitely think, like, if you like that type of environment, and there is things to do in Schöneberg. Like, if you like that vibe too, like, it's not too boring. And it has very pretty parks, like Gleisdreieck Park is really nice.
Is that still Schöneberg?
I think it's Kreuzberg. No, it's like the border.
It's technically Schöneberg, but it's like at the border.
Mm.
Like it was literally at the border.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. There's really nice parks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also really good. I think for me, my challenge with Schöneberg was it was like super residential, but also like the flats that we were living in were a lot of like bougie parents and stuff.
Mm.
And dealing with like, yes, I don't mind families, but bougie families, that's like another thing because they're very much like high class in a way.
Mm.
So I felt very out of place around those types of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember... it's not very international. I feel like it feels more German.
Yes.
If Neukölln and Kreuzberg didn't get overrun by international people, maybe they would be more like Schöneberg in the style of food that you can get and that kind of thing. But I don't really spend much time there.
And like you said, Schöneberg used to be possibly even is considered the queer, or at least part of it. Gay. Not the whole, not all of Schöneberg, but Schöneberg holds a part that is like the gay area.
Mm.
But it's different. I feel like it's the old Berliner scene.
It is
that's
much
there.
That. Yeah.
Not
the
all
new
the people
ones.
Who
no.
came or,
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But it is still like, every time I go to Schöneberg, you see someone in like a full body leather outfit.
Yes, yeah.
And it's kind of a double take because you only see it there.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. You wouldn't see that same kind of like fetishy vibe
in Neukölln
and Kreuzberg where there are a lot of gay people, like queer people. But it's a different generation.
It's a big different. Like they have the gay bars there. There's like Tom's Bar and something like that. And you go in, and those people I have never seen in my life before.
No.
And like I've been out a lot to know if I see people. I'm like I've never seen those people, and it is because they are from a different generation, and it caters to them in that regards. I think Schöneberg is like, if you have lived in Berlin long enough and you want to get outside of the business, because like Prenzlauer is there for some people who are bougie, but it is still like close to the center. Schöneberg is a bit out there, so you're not having to deal with touristy stuff. And so like if people want to settle down but still want to do their own thing, I think that's where people go.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, Prenzlauer Berg is the one where that receives like the most sarcastic comments because it's really like Prenzlauer Berg is in the north, but not quite as north as Wedding.
Yeah.
And maybe, yeah, Prenzlauer Berg, it's just, the joke is that people from Schwabenland, Swabia, is that what is it?
I'm not sure what
like
that
the south
is
of Germany, move there with their families and buy up the expensive apartments and then block the sidewalk with their strollers and annoy everybody with their Swabian accent. And it is a joke and a cliche, but it's also true.
Yeah. Like, I feel like apparently I remember hearing, not verified, that Prenzlauer Berg had like the highest concentration of children in Europe.
Mm.
And I can believe it.
I can believe that so much. Sure.
Very family.
But I also
friendly.
Feel like Prenzlauer Berg kind of came up. Maybe it was Friedrichshain around this time where like hipster, the term hipster really became like almost ironic.
Yeah.
And where it's like,
it's the hipster families going there. And
I feel like Friedrichshain might be more hippie.
Mm.
Whereas Prenzlauer Berg was like,
Friedrichshain actually houses, you know, they just caught this RAF terrorist.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about this, Jay, but there was a terrorist group in the
70s, 80s,
like a left wing extreme terrorist group, German terrorist group who murdered tons of people, blew things up. Like it was
like politicians and like company CEOs.
Oh shit.
Right. I was a child, so I don't remember too much about it.
Yeah.
I think they were even in the like junior version of that. So I think it was, I think they were like.
Exactly.
It
happened in the 70s. Yeah. Most of it happened in the 70s. And she, the one that they just caught after
years and years,
decades, was in like the third generation of that group.
Yeah.
But yeah, they caught her in just like an apartment in Friedrichshain, I think.
Yeah. Apparently there was like a podcast did a story about this whole thing and somehow basically did a better job than the police and like tracked her down. And then she got arrested.
Oh, wow.
And it was
true crime podcast. Saving the world.
Yeah. And I heard about it. Like they were talking about why journalists in a true crime podcast could possibly do a better job than the police. And it was because apparently they don't have to worry about jurisdiction.
That's
and true. So they could go to other places and like ask questions.
Yeah, just like knock on doors.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
But
coming back to Friedrichshain, because we were saying like Prenzlauer Berg is left, yes, but it's like hipster left,
it is,
right? It's like very mid. And then
it is gentrified left.
It's gentrified left, and it's like the acceptable.
Friedrichshain is left. Like my parents are really rich, and I'm left.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. I'm like a lefty, but I'm being supported by my parents.
Yeah,
whereas like, Friedrichshain is like I literally live in a trailer, and I have like nothing but the clothes that I'm wearing, and I support human rights
exactly.
and that's I'm vegan.
And so vegan. This terrorist. Which I'm not making light of, like she was a terrorist, but obviously, so RAF stood for Rote Armee Fraktion, Red Army
Fraction.
Fraction or,
I think fraction also in English.
Mm-hmm. And so I saw this on Mastodon, like just a quote from a news article, because she just lived in an apartment there. And then, so...
I think someone found her in a capoeira class.
What? Found her what?
In a capoeira class. They're like, I do capoeira with her.
Oh, No. They found the class, but she had already done.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just translated this news article. An unsuspecting resident of the neighboring house is dumbfounded upon learning that he has lived next door to a sought-after RAF terrorist. Quote, to think I've lived next to the comrade for years, that's unbelievable, he says, and departs with the slogan, Red Front! And that wouldn't happen in
Prenzlauer Berg.
No, it would definitely not.
The fact that they're like, live next to a
freak. There's still a lot of comfortability in Friedrichshain when it comes to people being different or out there.
Yes. It's more punk.
Yeah.
But they also pick like, whoever renovates all of the houses in Friedrichshain. They had, someone decided that what they wanted to do was like have like weird motifs on all the balconies, and they just made such horrible choices. It's like you could so tell that they're hippies.
Yeah.
Because they're like in Prince Harburg, you know, the aesthetic is like clean and
very much
modern. Yeah. Like, but
solar
still,
panels on the roof.
Yeah. Whereas in Friedrichshain, it's like, let's do weird things with the facade of this building. And like, why?
How would you design the facade?
Less is more. But also just like, they're trying, it's like, I don't know, just weird, weird bespoke choices that I'm like, that's also going to be really annoying in terms of maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, because you made these like unique balconies, but they're like trying to repair that.
Yeah.
Hell. Mm. Absolute hell.
Which place has the least construction going on?
Ooh. Well, we can start with the one that has the most construction going on, which is Mitte.
Really?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, I'm just going by feeling, but it feels like Mitte, there's always stuff going on.
I feel like in terms of construction, like Neukölln is pretty wild, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's also the roadworks are really crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But let's talk about Mitte. It's... we talked about this, I think, in the last episode, but it's basically, or the other episode that we talked about the neighborhoods. Mitte means center.
Yeah.
And so it's very confusing because people are like, oh, that's where I want to live, or that's where I want to go as a tourist because that's the center of Berlin. But in a way, it's the most dead area of Berlin.
I mean, now for sure. But I feel like the other day I came here on a Saturday, which I'm normally not in Mitte. I'm normally in the other center, the old center of the West, Kudamm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild how different the demographic was of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen so many young people.
In Mitte.
In Mitte, everyone was young. They were queuing like nobody's business for bubble tea or some random food.
Tourists, though, or locals?
I'm not sure. I feel like they were locals.
Hmm.
But like, you don't see any young people in the West.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they're all old people.
True.
But or Mitte, they're students.
Yeah.
Mitte has the museums. It has the bubble tea and the sneaker stores. And I mean, in terms of living...
It also priced people out at the first, no?
Right.
But I think like,
yeah.
We still all live kind of in the center. Like we, it's still... I feel like just now people are starting to live outside the ring.
Well, because right. They like can't live.
Yeah. In. But for a long time, that was like people like, even when I first moved here and I lived in Schillerkeetz, that was considered far. People like, oh, Schillerkeetz. Now that's like
that's
the place
close.
To be. Yeah. And you're like, I remember Kerner Park was like, whoa, you're like, you're in the sticks. And it's like now, if you live around Kerner Park, it's like prime.
Which park?
Yeah.
Kerner Park. Like Kerner, really this like mine. Old, it was like an old sand mine.
Yeah.
At the bottom of Neukölln, or not even the bottom of Neukölln, but the bottom of the ring, within the ring Neukölln, which is not even.
It's true. And but the other important thing to understand is that Berlin doesn't, like it has Mitte, the center, but it doesn't really have a center because each of these neighborhoods is like their own city. And in fact, that's what it used to be. Like it's basically Berlin was a, like, different cities like Neukölln even was two different. It was what was it called?
Britz?
No. Yeah, Britz.
Oh, below I think
Rixdorf.
Rixdorf and Britz. I don't know. That was like a real gay hub way back in like the 20s or 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Like Richardsplatz or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it was the place to be.
Anyway, they joined to become Berlin Neukölln. It was Rixdorf and
I mean, I think it was, wasn't it called Köln?
Ah, no, so sorry. Yeah, so Neukölln used to be its own city, and that was called Rixdorf, and then that became part of Berlin. And yeah, so it's just good to know that a lot of these places really feel like individual towns or cities. Yeah. And so it's not like you can go to the center of Berlin and that's where most things happen and then it like gets less and less the more you move away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the opposite. Like you move and there's something, then you move nothing, then you move there's something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still all quite small. I mean, compared, I was in London before and comparing the different, like crossing the city here is so much more, and going between these different areas is so much more accessible.
Totally. I mean, that's, you mentioned true. How that's far Wedding is from Neukölln, because Wedding is
on the opposite
in
side.
The north, and yeah. Neukölln is in the south. But even with that, I cycle from Wedding to Neukölln, and it takes me 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think nowhere's 45. If you're in the ring, 45 minutes max.
Yeah.
And whereas, yeah. Yeah.
How is Wedding?
So Wedding, the Wedding kommt is the yeah. joke.
Any day now.
Which means it's going to get hip. It's going to become something. It's going to make something
I
of
hear
it.
That all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I hear.
When I first moved here, I went and helped a friend's friend who I didn't know renovate an apartment in Wedding that was about to take off. And that was in 2012.
Yeah, it's a running
over
game.
10 years ago, and it was like quite hilarious. I mean, who's laughing now because she paid nothing for that apartment and it's probably worth much more
right
now.
And it is still one of the places where you have a higher chance of getting an affordable apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And it is, I feel like it is like gentrifying and stuff like that. It's not, because it used to be like Neukölln, it used to not be gentrified at all, mm-hmm. and a largely immigrant community and stuff. And now more and more people are moving to it, and it's the same in Wedding. But Wedding hasn't undergone the Neukölln treatment with all the hip places and cafes. And
it also doesn't get so much shit from the government. I feel like in the news, you hear about Neukölln all the time, whereas you don't hear about Wedding.
Right, and it does have its problems, particularly the trash. Like, there's just a big trash problem. I even recently, I was walking down the street and a kid had just finished his meal and just threw the plate and the fork on the
what?
Ground.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, you just dropped your plate. And he was like, yeah, I'll pick it up later. I'm like, no, pick it up now. This is both of our,
oh
this is
God,
where we both
I've
live.
I've never seen that.
And he refused. And he was like, no. And then, yeah, and so that's
then you got into
that's a
fight.
Problem.
then I
but yeah, but and there's the firecrackers year round, so that's a bit of a problem,
year
especially
round.
If you have a yeah, dog. Depending on where you are. But yeah, so that's annoying. But apart from those kind of minor issues, it's just very residential and calm.
Yeah.
There's not that much going on.
I always like riding back from Wedding because it feels like going downhill. I don't know.
Because you're imagining
is.
The map?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Honestly, it feels like I can ride from mine to basically deep Wedding in not so long. But the way back, it's like, this is nice. They haven't...
You're a refresher.
Or have they added all the... Have they gone cycle path crazy in Wedding
no,
like they did in Neukölln?
Not so much.
No?
They added one part from Leopoldplatz to the headquarters of Bayer. But there's like one stretch.
Yeah,
that were,
and I feel like the road's still really shitty.
Yeah. And they were so proud of that one stretch that they added a cycle path. But yeah.
So how is Charlottenburg? I don't think any of us. Like, that's
yeah,
like
so that's
the
old west.
Yeah.
That's where what you mentioned, Kudamm, where you work. And Kudamm, Kurfürstendamm used to be the Champs-Élysées of Berlin, right? Mm. Like that's where the expensive department stores are.
Yeah.
Yes, I got off at Süllischer Garden, and I was just like, I felt like I was in like a new city. Like it was like bright lights and big buildings. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. And they're constructing more. I think they are planning to construct the highest skyscraper in Europe, right next to Zoologischer Garten.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, zoo early in the morning, it's rough. That area is still really rough. It's like, it's quite famous as like a rough place in Berlin.
Well,
like
it used
movies
to be in the 80s.
And books. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Christina,
but still,
Christiane vom Bahnhof Zoo, that was about drug addicts.
Mm-hmm. There's still a few of her around there.
Yeah.
For sure. And in the morning, it can be a little bit scary.
But then the tourists roll in. And
yes, it's a very tourist attracted place. And I can understand why. It has its very much commercial feel to it.
But the tourist vibe there is so different to the tourist vibe in Mitte, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Yeah, very, very.
It feels very, very Kudam, especially, just feels very commercial. You know?
Yeah. Yes. But what I don't get and what annoys me a lot about central areas in Berlin, why are there like 4 or 5 lane highways there? Why are there...
Kurfürstendamm is famous for its illegal car
races. It's quite dangerous. They just added like a speed camera, I think, there. Even like because people died.
Oh, no, a speed and a noise camera.
Noise, yeah.
Noise, it was something radar.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they come with the tuned cars.
Yeah.
And they like go up and down, up and down. They're like, look at my car. It's like...
Oh, wow. We then talk, would you call Potsdamer Platz like a Kiez in itself or just an area?
I think it's a Kiez, but it's not a neighborhood.
No.
Yeah.
It's just part of Mitte.
Yeah, it's part of Mitte, I think.
Gotcha.
It's really interesting. When we were there, we were there for like Fridays for Future or something, and there was a picture of what the area looked like not that long ago. It was completely
empty. That's where
empty.
The wall was, and that was the death zone. And so when the wall fell, that just was all empty land, and there was so much space. And then they developed it, and they put the little skyscrapers there. And they very much planned it. And as often with things that are planned, it kind of ends up a bit dead.
Yeah.
Like it didn't just happen organically, like they were like, oh, we have all this free land, let's put skyscrapers here, it'll be great. And now it's just like a giant intersection with a mall and some skyscrapers, and you kind of don't want to be there.
Is the cinema even there anymore?
I mean, there's still the Berlinale one and the other one, but the CineStar original closed. Like they're not the one, because
the like main one.
I mean, it's still there because that's where the Berlinale festival happens. But
That now moved to Zoo. That moved to like a
Palace. Okay, so no, then it closed. It closed because there used to be that one CineStar original that just only showed every movie in English with no subtitles.
Yeah.
And that closed, apparently wasn't viable.
I remember going there earlier on when I feel like maybe it was harder to see original language movies. Yeah. But now
it's
easy. Great. Yeah, your kinos are like everywhere.
Yes, your kinos are everywhere. I love my your kinos. Oh. Now, so the question that I talked to somebody about, since housing is such a challenging thing now, you kind of have to live wherever there's a housing available. So can you still identify with your Kiez? Like, can a Kiez still be a status symbol? Because, you know, people used to, apparently people used to like specifically choose where they wanted to live. And that's how they represented themselves. Yeah. But now since...
You know, I heard a great quote recently.
It's,
don't try to make the right choice. Try to make the choice right. Or make the choice, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think all of these places have their little thing.
Yeah.
And you can be proud, maybe Charlottenburg.
Don't be proud. Just not be tricky. Proud.
Just that's the only one.
Yeah. No, I think, I feel like everywhere you go, wherever you are, if you just like focus on your little Kiez for a little bit, you'll discover new things that, they wouldn't have been destinations, but when you're there, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel that like, so I lived in Neukölln and I really loved Neukölln, but then I had to move to Königsberg, then I had to move to Schöneberg, and now I'm back in Neukölln. I still felt that even when I was living in Königsberg and Schöneberg, I felt that I was still a Neukölln person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like every time I came to Neukölln, I was like, ah. This is my place.
See, I live in Wedding, but I kind of feel like I'm still a Schöneberg person.
Really?
So maybe it's but that wasn't even my first Kiez. So it's not about the first one. It's about where you identify.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah. But also, maybe Potsdamer Platz is part of Tiergarten, not Mitte.
Ah.
We forgot
but
Tiergarten.
Is Tiergarten its own thing?
I think so. I just looked at the list of what we talked about last time. And we also forgot about Pankow, which is beautiful.
Did we
really?
I love Pankow.
Yeah. I've never been to Pankow.
It borders Prenzlauer Berg, but it's not as hyped. It's like a little secret Prenzlauer Berg.
Once.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's similar. It's like left and a little.
Is that? I actually don't know the demographic of Pankow. Only
it kind of blends
like
in with Prenzlauer Berg.
It blends in.
Weißensee is there, no?
Yeah.
Or is that its own thing? I feel like I don't know Pankow enough to judge it, even though I do. And I wouldn't, like, if I feel like Pankow in my mind is the same as, like, oh my God, Lichtenberg?
No.
I like, Lichtenberg. I know forgot these places exist and people have definitely started to move there. Like, I know several people that have moved to Lichtenberg where you're like, wow.
Yeah, Lichtenberg is really one of the happening. Places where you can still find an apartment.
Yeah, and I think they're building it's going to happen apartments. Before vetting. I think Lichtenberg's going to pop up before vetting. No. I'm not even kidding.
I mean, I hear a lot more people move to Lichtenberg
for vetting. But we're going to like literally Matsan will gentrify before vetting actually
hits. Okay, what's Matsan?
Matsan is like racist and not a vibe. Sorry to anyone who lives there, but probably not sorry.
I mean, it's these high-rise buildings.
It's high. Yeah, it's like is it close these to old like Plattenbau. It's like a bit more east.
Gotcha. Okay.
It gets real east real quick once you go past like Frankfurt or Tor, where it's just like. But actually, I was in one of these Plattenbau recently.
All of a sudden, you're in the Soviet Union.
Again. Exactly, and the apartment was actually really nice inside, like very livable.
Yeah,
such a nice cut, huge like don't big judge windows.
The place
exactly, outside they look horrible, but inside I was like, this is the vibe. Yeah,
not bad.
It's like it's more industrial than I've ever lived. You know,
but like, how much like do you think those like flats are going for?
I feel like I mean, this one he'd done up quite nice, but I feel like they were quite cheap at some point.
Yeah, and the tram because goes like, all the way out there. You'll be on the tram for like an hour and a half or something. But
and there's like a Donchuan Center. There's lots of stuff out there. It's fun.
Yeah,
and there's a great pool. I mean, Lichtenberg. I feel like actually maybe it's the next place to be.
I'm sure I'll
that's ambitious. Yeah. That is very ambitious.
You heard it here first.
Buy apartments.
Yeah,
now.
Buy apartments in Lichtenberg. Gentrify it. Yeah. Take advantage of the cheap.
They do have a lot of housing. I will say that. They have a lot of housing. If you go there, the buildings are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of flats. But I keep hearing that there's nothing to do there.
No, but I mean, there's nothing to do in Altrepto either. And I live there. But I mean, it's very, I would say some places like Altrepto are really kitsy, where like people feel, because it's not a
density.
Yeah, they have a sense of identity because it's not a destination.
Yeah.
It's like we are with ourselves.
Yes, we got
to
make it.
There's no reason for you to be here. So we like it.
Yeah.
And it became, but I don't know if Lichtenberg feels that way. But
Jay, I have to say, I'm quite impressed how good of an overview you have of all these different neighborhoods, because I feel like it took me 9 years to really understand the layout of Berlin. And I'm bad at geography in general, so this is a problem in my life. But I feel like I've only a few years ago gotten to the point where I feel like I have this characterization in my head of all these places that now I can do a podcast episode about it, but also that I know at least roughly where they are on the map, and that I can, if I have to, cycle or drive from one place to another without instructions. It took me so long. Even just, I mean, I slipped
driving?
Up earlier.
You can drive without instructions? It's insane. I don't know how people got around with that.
Driving
GPS.
Is easier.
Driving is very
driving
easy
is easier than bikes
highway
because you have the signs.
Intersections make no sense.
I mean,
it's insane. You want to go west? It's like, okay, well, turn east because that's the way that this intersection works.
Right, but you have the yellow signs that will say this is towards Prenzlauer Berg, this is towards Wedding.
Gives me crazy anxiety. I can't read and drive. It's like, even with
do
a
you have
map,
a license? You don't have a license.
I do have a license.
When did you get your license?
When I was like 16. Pass the test, first go. Even though I rode the curb during a reverse parallel
and
park.
But can you drive in Germany? You have a German license?
I switched it to German quite recently. Yeah.
Yes,
I can, if anyone wants to rent a car, I can do it. Yeah. It's unfortunately
what, what's your rate?
Well, it depends. Depends what you need. I need to pick up a TV later. So that'll be interesting.
Get your miles.
But yeah, get rent a miles. No, but I find the whole idea of driving without a GPS unimaginable. Because
if you know the
roads
route.
Don't make sense. Like with a bike, you can be like, I'm just going to ride that way. You know, you don't really have to look.
Yeah.
With highway intersections are insane. And even the signs, crazy.
I feel the opposite, because when you're driving, you're on roads and they have signs and you can see, okay, this way will lead me to the general direction that I need to go. On a bike, you generally don't want to stay on the big roads. You want to find
That's
your
true.
Way. Just you want to just go in the right directions and kind of wiggle through. And that's impossible without Google Maps. And Because then I'll just go in the wrong direction and then realize, oh, shit, I'm going in the wrong direction.
But if you know generally where you're going, then it's quite easy. Like, I feel like I can get around Berlin quite easily without having to use the GPS.
Now I'm at that place too, but that's why I'm saying I'm impressed, because I feel like that took me 9 years. And my recommendation would be for people, A, don't take the subway.
Don't cycle. Cycle
because that will really help you understand the city. And B, when you're cycling, even if you're using directions, try to like pay attention and remember. Oh, like this is the street that takes me there.
Yes.
And this is the border. Like also like having the map kind of in your mind and knowing now I'm crossing from Neukölln to Kreuzberg and so on, that really will help you kind of get a hold of the city.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. But even with bikes, I still discover tiny little keys that like there's a whole area in Kreuzberg that is kind of above the U1 where Königsgalerie is around. And it is like such a nice little vibe. There's no through roads, basically. It's like if you're there, you're there because you want to be there, not because you're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I discovered this like maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And you're like, I have been around, I've been so close to here, but never here the whole time. It's really impressive. These like the way that you can still discover the city so many years after so many years living here
by a bicycle.
Genau.